Dr. Feeney, Dr. Kerr. And we're going to talk about council research priorities.
All right, thank you very much. Good to see you again. I'm going to go through a series of short slides to update the council on our work this spring to update research priorities. Dr. Kerr has a brief report on the SSC's discussions and recommendations about priority updates, and then we can open it up to the council for your consideration of the proposed updates that are being presented to you. So just by way of reminder, we do set research priorities and submit them to the Secretary of Commerce in compliance with the Magnuson-Stevens Act, which requires that we do so on a five-year period of time. Back in 2017 or 18, this council decided to transition to, rather than doing this every 5 years, do it every 1 year in the hopes that this list would stay more up to date and be a smaller task each year. And we also transitioned from having a word listing that just merely listed the title of the priority or need to having a spreadsheet with a lot more information. So the process we've been using since that time period has been largely consistent, where updates are originally proposed by the plan teams. Those are brought to advisory panels for recommendations, and then those are trickle up to the FMP committees. Staff compile all of those, and they head to the SSC for review. Then that all comes to the council, like what we're doing today, for forwarding to NOAA Fisheries after that point. That's kind of the ideal process. When we get to the nuts and bolts of scheduling different meetings, it can vary. For example, this year the Herring Committee and Groundfish Committee met after the SSC review, so the SSC had an opportunity for an email review of those recommendations prior to going into your binder just recently. So we're looking for the council to weigh in on any kind of significant changes, like adding, deleting priority items, things that are clarifications, or updating, adding in priorities that have already been approved, like the research set-aside priorities don't need full council approval to get those updates in. So consistent, this should be familiar to everyone. We have kind of a track changes approach to updating in this spreadsheet format, where we're using different color codings. The notes field in column J is helpful, which notes, starting in 2019, the year that the priority was added, so we can track how long these priorities are living on the list. And there are also notes of any work that we are aware of that is underway regarding these priorities. Also have a references tab for citations that are noted in the notes. So in developing the updates for this year, we started with the priorities that were approved by the council last June, which were 110. And of those, you can see the little table here of the changes that are being proposed today. We're proposing 103 priorities, so there are 32 items that were really had no changes to them. 37 had some revision or update to their priority name, the title, or description. Others, 28, had more minor updated notes field or a recommendation to change the status from no work done to work underway, that sort of thing. And then we had four priorities that are being recommended for merging into others. So those are, in a sense, getting deleted. And then we have nine that are getting being proposed for deletion altogether. So we had no changes this year coming from regarding small mesh priorities, multi-species, or red crab. We have updates regarding ecosystem-based fishery management, habitat, herring, groundfish, monkfish, scallop, and skates. On the six new priorities that are in green there on the table, we have two regarding scallops. One is an evaluation of the performance of the rotational area management program, as well as the impacts of fishing in high scallop density areas. Two new monkfish priorities regarding evaluation of the effectiveness of pingers on gill nets for the deterrent of seals, or they're used as porpoise deterrents, but they seem to be attracting seals, I should say. As well as an interest in improving monkfish markets. And then there are two new groundfish priorities regarding aging of white hake and redfish and updates to the recreational bioeconomic model. The nine deletions are just briefly listed here. There's a proposal to delete the priority regarding having an independent herring acoustic survey separate from the trawl survey that collects acoustics, evaluating the impacts of herring time series of the change in vessels from the trawl survey, a wolffish survey conversion factor, a priority that says we'll use new surveys in stock assessments, which I think the rationale is really that's not a research need and new information sources do get considered in assessments already. And then the remainder are from the Groundfish Committee, and they regard defining different fishery components in the groundfish fishery, identifying the directed groundfish fishery. I'd have to look up what sector definition is. That one's escaping me. The idea of researching the feasibility of splitting permits from each other and evaluating groundfish fleet behavior. Dr. Kerr will go into detail for the SSC recommendations, but I did just want to point out that we had a bit of discrepancy that the council should weigh in on where the herring committee, as I said, is recommending deleting the priority of having a dedicated pelagic hydroacoustic survey. The sense that acoustics from the trawl survey have been and are being used in the stock assessment process, and their feasibility of having a separate dedicated acoustic survey, while that's been on the wish list for some time, doesn't seem to be coming to pass and is unrealistic. The SSC is cautioning that may still be a helpful source of information, particularly if it could operate at different scales and strata from the trawl survey. We've also worked to include the comments and more minor revisions to five of the priorities from the recommendations from the SSC. They've already been worked into the draft update. And I think that was it. Besides, here's the focus of your discussion today, needing to confirm agreement with the recommendations, revisions that have come in from all the species committees and the SSC. We need to weigh in on this discrepancy for priority number one, and any final input on revisions up to these priorities before they're finalized. I think that was it from me. Did you have
slides? I do have slides.
Okay.
Thank you. So I'm here to report out on the SSC discussion of the council research priorities and data needs, and I'll just wait for the slides to come up. Thanks. And so, yeah, the SSC appreciated Dr. Feeney came to our SSC meeting and provided a brief overview of the research priorities with a focus on the items that have changed sorry, I have this. On the focus on the items that have changed since the last review of the priorities by the SSC in 2021. And the SSC was asked to provide some feedback and offer their ideas on further revision, new priorities, or deletion of priorities, as shown here in the terms of reference. So the SSC expressed an overall appreciation for this product produced by council staff and acknowledged the continued improvement that we've seen upon each year in the process of compiling and presenting the five-year research recommendations in this synthesis. And the SSC appreciated this year seeing the tracking of progress on prior SSC recommendations. So there was a specific product produced to show what had been done relative to last year's recommendations, as well as the addition of including publications of ongoing work in areas on the areas of research that are now included in the document, and information on potential funding sources for some of these specific research topics. The SSC also suggested that the five-year research priorities may be useful to informing the research track stock assessment process and may be helpful in identifying specific stocks for prioritizing or thematic issues that go across stocks for prioritization. And so in thinking about the new research track steering committee, it would be helpful to connect them with this document going forward. So the SSC had a discussion about how individual items were tracked in the list, and Dr. Feeney noted that NOAA had provided updates on progress on specific items in 2019 and intends to provide future updates on the broad status of these research priorities. And I think the SSC noted the real utility, encouraged this back and forth between the council staff and NOAA in updating progress on the list of priorities, and that this is a sort of a means to track progress from research to management action through this product as well. The SSC suggested considering adding some priorities that resulted from a socioeconomic subpanel review for scallop and groundfish FMPs and some of the human dimensions recommendations that came out of the review of the State of the Ecosystem report as well. And I'll just note that SSC generally agreed with the revisions to the research priorities as listed and made some specific comments that are listed in the report and shown in the slide below. I'm not going to read all of these. They are listed in the report, and I'll note that the numbers highlighted there correspond to Rachel's spreadsheet and the number of the research priority. But I can highlight a few of the items we recommended. One of them was, as Rachel noted, just a suggestion that there may be an advantage of keeping the hydroacoustic survey, the prospect of a hydroacoustic survey on the research list, if it could operate a different spatial temporal scale, it would be useful to informing this research priority. I'll note number 28, this is in reference to the priority to continue to explore uncertainties in groundfish stock assessments. In regards to this priority, the SSC suggested more specific and actionable language be added to this priority, such as work to identify candidate sources that are causing retrospective patterns, work to assess impacts on assessments of missing survey data, and research to consider the impact and utility of the increased data resulting from higher monitoring in the groundfish fishery. I'll note another one here, number 107. The priority here we're responding to is assess how changes in fishery independent surveys that cannot access areas in fixed or floating wind farms and aquaculture sites for sampling will affect stock assessments and additional uncertainty in management. Here, the SSC suggested adding a supplement priority or augmenting this priority to consider how the council may set a catch advice if there is a substantial impact on resource surveys due to wind farm development. I'm happy to answer specific questions about other recommendations here, but as I said, we generally agreed with the revisions that were made to the research priority list. And with that, I will take any questions you have.
Okay, thank you, doctors. Any questions from the council? Mr. Smith? Okay, never mind, Mr. Smith. Anyone else?
For everything right
there. That's okay, no problem. Anybody from the council have any questions or comments on the proposed changes? Ms. Ware, and then Dr. Sisselwine, and then Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you. This is just a minor comment, but on research recommendation number 16, which is about stock movements and tagging studies for groundfish and halibut, in the notes section, it mentions who's working on halibut. It says TNC, and I would just request that Maine DMR also be added to that. We've been doing halibut tagging work for several years, so I think that would be good to include.
Okay, no problem. Dr. Sisselwine, then Vice Chairman Bellavance.
Yeah, I have one specific, a few comments. One quite specific one, and that is that I would concur with the SSC in that we probably should not delete the reference to a research priority for the development of a hydroacoustic survey, particularly that could apply to herring. I say that because it just seems to me to be counter to the desire to modernize technology for all sorts of things, which, in other cases, the agency is pursuing. But I also say it in a broader context that I sort of view that this exercise, to be blunt, is somewhat of a, it's a lot of work to respond to something that Congress assigned without any clear process by how it's used. Experience is that it is used by scientists to have a good idea about something they think should be done, and if they can find something on this list that's helpful, that's great. Taking something off like hydroacoustics could in fact have a negative impact at some stage when someone wants to invest in that sort of research. So I'm generally leery about taking things off unless there's really some reason that they're the wrong thing to do. But more broadly, this is probably a question to the SSC. I'd imagine that going through this list each year of about 100 items that are sort of apples and oranges, that is, some of them are real specific, some of them are very broad, some of them are short term, some of them are real research, some of them are compilation of data. I mean, it's a really diverse list, and it's always unclear how much impact any of it has other than it fulfills a requirement. Would it be something both worthwhile and rewarding for the SSC to actually have some focus that was on identifying a few big picture themes that it might support and advocate that could be either part of this list or an umbrella for it, or maybe be a more specific statement that might be more actionable than a very long list like we have right now? So that's both a question and a comment. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen some development in the list where there are some priorities that are cross-stock, and I think some of those do align with probably some of the recommendations that might be, I imagine, might come out of a recommendation of the SSC that are broader. So I think we've seen, like you said, there are different levels of granularity in the list. So, you know, are you asking if the SSC would provide a prioritization of, like, the larger scale issues coming out of this list?
I think it would be a big ask to ask the SSC to prioritize 100 and some odd items.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do think a discussion from the SSC that got a sense of what these items are and provided some sort of an overview of key directions that would be priorities could make the less more useful and be a constructive contribution, as well as be more rewarding to the people.
I think we certainly could do something like that. You know, we could think about that in next year as a term of reference that asks the SSC to take, identify some high level, themes across this list that, they could recommend. So I think we certainly could do that in our next review of this. And I think, I think in general, this list is really informative, and it is useful to have captured things at these different levels of granularity. I could see something like that exercise being useful. I think we certainly could consider that as a term of reference.
Mr. Nice.
So I'm not sure if this question is for Dr. Kerr or Dr. Sissonwein. How would you envision that interacting with the committees who also provide recommendations? Would you envision the SSC identifying their broad themes first before they go to the committee? Or are you talking about cutting the committees out of the broad themes discussion? Or if we're going to plan this out, I would be curious to know how you envision this working. Now, maybe we don't need to decide that now, but I think we need to think about that before we do this next spring. That's not really the process we set up when we reviewed setting our research priorities. When was that, Rachel? 3 years ago? Or four? Five. Okay.
I could, Mr. Chair. I think Tom is absolutely correct. That has to be thought out. It probably wouldn't be decided now. It's something that would have to be discussed in advance. You certainly wouldn't want to cut the committees out. But recognizing that this list comes through the committees before it gets to the SSC, I would, as a first cut, envision the SSC would then look for whether it can capture any broader themes, which the committees would then potentially have an opportunity to comment on. I also acknowledge that maybe the time involved in doing that is not practical or not worth it. So at this stage, I'm just putting an idea out there for further mulling over and considering. I don't have any of the details worked out. While I'm speaking, I would like to, though, reiterate that I, for one, as a council member, would support the SSC's comment and recommend that when this list go forward, that the item on herring acoustic surveys be included in the research priorities. So I don't know whether that needs to be addressed formally or you can just accept that unless some other council members disagree. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, Mike. I have Mr. Belavance, then Mr. Godfrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sort of building a little bit on what Dr. Sissonwein was talking about, not quite as reformed and robust, but I'm just wondering, besides that congressional mandate, like, what else do we do with this list, sort of? There's been things on this list since I've been a council member that don't get looked at, you know, for funding reasons, or the Science Center it's not in their wheelhouse or whatever. So I'm just wondering, is there anything that the council can do to, like, promote research in these areas other than just making this list? Is there funding opportunities through the council? Is there other, advertising we can do to different agencies, or does that all just kind of happen on its own and that's not the purpose of this list? I'm just trying to see if we can get at some of these 100 and some odd research priorities faster than we've been able to so far. So I don't know if there's a way or not, but I'd be curious if anyone has an idea.
Dr. Feeney, thank you.
Thank you. I think an area for improvement is our broader outreach. So these lists, get shared with the secretary each year. I know that they go to the Science Center and they receive them along with priorities that come in from the Mid-Atlantic Council and ASMFC. And we've had Dr. Hare report here on how they have used our lists in, you know, in their processes to determine center priorities. I have sent these lists to various institutions over the years, the Sea Grant programs, for example, and, you know, helped get the word out. But I, you know, it could be a staff task that to make a more formal outreach plan of, you know, of institutions, places to send these every year on a regular basis once they get approved. That's not something we've prioritized thus far, but that could be an avenue to help spread the word. You know, so it's been a little bit organic beyond the formal submitting to the secretary.
Thanks. That's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, next, Mr. Godfrey, you had your hand up.
Sorry about that. Seems like it's getting stuck.
Okay, next I have Mr. Pentney and then Mr. Pierdnock.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, this is obviously the council's list to submit to the secretary, so I'm going to be somewhat circumspect. But, you know, the one thing I noted in the recommendations was to remove the priority related to examining permit splitting. And although that's, you know, largely a policy issue as opposed to a purely scientific issue, I do note that as part of the scenario planning exercise that we're all heavily invested in, looking at, you know, across councils, looking at governance issues, I think the permit structure that we, permits that we have across our two councils will likely be an important consideration, an important issue for us to be looking at in terms of adapting to climate change in our governance needs. And so, you know, I think the permit splitting issue is something that's likely to come back up and for us to not just dismiss that as something that we're no longer interested in pursuing. So I'll just leave that comment for us food for thought. Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Pierdnock.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would recommend that the dedicated pelagic hydroacoustic survey continue. I think it's more than just helpful. It's necessary more than ever. With observations on the water, we've seen the benefit of additional forage fish and pelagics, where nowadays you can catch bluefin tuna right off the beach. And the increase in that forage fish is attributed partially to the fact that that is the case. Now we're going from a 12-mile, we had a 12-mile limit for the commercial herring fishery to 3. This would help provide the science that is needed to assess that predator-prey relationship with herring as well as other species. In addition, as was stated earlier with that change, there are many in Massachusetts with rec for hire as well as select commercial fishermen that are very upset to see the fact that this 12-mile line is now, excuse me, the 3-mile line is, limit is now in place and not 12-mile, because one or those fishing those areas have seen the conservation benefits of such, and to see the forage fish and the pelagics and other fin fish that have rebounded and come close to shore and in that area, as well as well offshore. So I think more than ever, it's not helpful, it's necessary. My recommendation is to keep it in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Nice.
So I just want to, I'm just seeking a clarification from, I don't know if it's Dr. Feeney or the Hearing Committee and the hydroacoustic surveys. There's been mention of, we don't want to cancel the hydroacoustic survey, but I don't think that's what the research priority is. We have a hydroacoustic survey right now, right, tied in with a Bigelow, and the question is whether to develop a different one. And the concern, I think, of the Hearing Committee is that the funding doesn't exist to develop that. Am I reading it correctly?
That's correct. Acoustics are collected on the Bigelow, and those are used in the assessment. This would be creating a separate vessel independent survey from that.
Okay, thank you. And I guess my question for Mr. Pentney, related to the permitting issue, these are research priorities that go to the agency. Is the agency think it's necessary to have a permit splitting research priority from the council in order to investigate that? Is that what you're saying? Because I don't read this as saying we don't want to consider that issue during the scenario exercise. The question is just whether it's a research priority that would apply, recognizing the groundfish committee may not be interested in it, but it could, as you pointed out, it could come up in the scenario exercise thing. So is there value on having it on there? Will research be conducted on that?
No, and that's why I didn't, start off with, I oppose removing it. It's obviously something that we can certainly look at and likely will be asked to look at as a result of the scenario planning exercise. I just was more reacting to the note in the table, no longer of interest as an issue. And I think it should remain something of interest that we're thinking about as a council moving forward. And it may be something, as I said, that comes back to the forefront as a result of the scenario planning exercise. But Tom, you're right. It's not something that needs to be on this list in order for us to contemplate it and look at it further.
Okay, so I got two things now. First, we have to address the herring acoustic survey. We do have an acoustic survey now. So the priority that we are discussing eliminating is a new survey. Now, the original council recommendation was to delete it. The SSC recommends that we keep it. And we have two council members that recommend that we keep it as well. As long as everybody understands, it is a new survey with some other methodology, and there's no funding for it. I think that's where I'm at with this. So I'd like to hear from the council what you think about that. We've got Dr. Sissonwine, Mr. Pierdenock proposed to keep it in. Is there anybody else that has the same or a different opinion about what to do with herring? Mr. Alexander, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I agree with Mike's sentiments. We do have a little bit of hydroacoustic survey with the current trawl survey, but I think there's value in considering, like Mike said, new technology, and it may be hard to identify right now how useful that may be, but I think even though there's no funding for it, I think it should be something that we don't shy away from and consider how this technique, may provide some use to us in the future. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I have Ms. Etri, then Mr. Salerno.
Thank you. In concept, I can see the utility in leaving this in. In practicality, I'm slightly torn because first, this is just a regulatory exercise that we do annually. And I think that we have seen some utility from it, but I think we've struggled to see large scale utilization of it. So in that respect, I kind of wonder how much energy is valuable spending on this one. I just thinking about this specific priority and the recommendations that were coming out from the committee and the fact that it's new, that there's no funding for it, the reality that any type of survey would need, I would think, not just funding, but sustained funding. I guess if there's broad support for keeping it in, I'm not going to fall on my sword there, but I just don't necessarily know how much utility we get from keeping it in at this point.
Okay, Libby, so I'm going to ask you straight up, in or out?
You know, know, if it moves it forward and folks want, the majority wants to leave it in, then I will be indifferent. But if folks are feeling it should be taken out, I'm supportive. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of a weird exercise. So my gut would be to take it out, but I don't want to hold things up. So it sounds like the majority want to leave it in. And so I raised my hand before more people spoke. So thanks.
Mr. Salerno, you in or you out?
I'm in. Do you want any more about that? I find it hard to believe that we're going to take something out because we don't have funding for it. I could probably go and we could probably all sit and go through this list and probably remove about three quarters of it because we don't have funding for it. Just because we don't have funding for something doesn't mean it's not a priority. We talk about, you know, wind energy areas. Well, we know there's no towing going to be going through those areas. Maybe an opportunity to develop a hydroacoustic survey that will kind of offset some of the information that we will potentially be losing. So I'm in just because it gives us the option and it's on a council priority, say, you know, if we have the opportunity, let's create a new survey that may be useful to us. So in, yes. Thank you.
Okay, let's try it a different way. Is there anybody out? Anybody want it out? Okay, there's one. All right, so... Toby, do you want to speak to it?
I'm just thinking that, I mean, the hearing committee wanted it out. We're constantly told that we have not enough money to accomplish what we would like. We already are collecting acoustic data, so my gut is with Libby, and I would just say, out, in the words of Cosmo Kramer. I'm out.
Okay, thank you. Hold on a second. Okay, so is there anybody else that's out? Anybody else that's out? Okay, what I want to do is to make this clear. I want somebody to make a motion to keep the acoustic survey in as a research priority. Somebody willing to make that motion? Dr. Sissonwine, Mr. Tracy, are you seconding that motion?
Sure. Okay. But I'd like to make a different comment, but at the right time.
Well, Dr. Sissonwine, do you have any additional rationale?
Yes. First, I'm fully aware that acoustic data is collected on Bigelow surveys now and has been for years, and it's relevant to many assessments, although it may not be used in very many at this stage. I would point out that dedicated acoustic surveys are probably the most widely used method for doing assessments of things like herring stocks, of pelagic stocks. So the idea of developing one for this stock at some time, if it's feasible in terms of funding, would be very consistent with common practice throughout the world. I would note that I actually see, the reason I raise this as an issue is for the most part I see this exercise as work that may not be worth it. But I do see removing things as potentially a negative, whereas having a list that's too long is probably harmless enough. This list was initially the impetus of Congress, wanting to know what research priorities were of the agency. It's since been put on the councils to actually respond. And one of the reasons, from my experience when I was involved in this stuff, was there are individual people in Congress that are sometimes interested in funding something. And having something on a list could be useful. I vaguely recall that Jeff Kinglin, if you stole back there behind a post somewhere, was very helpful in getting the center $400,000 for acoustic surveys when he was on the Hill, based on our identification of an interest in something like this. So I see the positive of, you know, it could work out that it's helpful. I see taking things off as a negative. Leaving them on can't hurt. Thank you.
Mr. Tracy.
There's nothing I want to add to the rationale, but what I did want to say when I initially put my hand up, so I'm going to say it now, I guess. I want to really vote for Dr. Sissonwine's idea of the thematic grouping, that concept. I find this priorities discussion very difficult to follow and also to track where things are going. And it comes up in our year as we do our work. Things get deleted, things get added. I just want to really vote for that, the thematic, and then
I'm thinking of it along the lines of like a master plan and a community planning thing, where like everything that's proposed then gets put under some category of a theme. And I think we have themes that we're starting to see in our discussion earlier today. So that's really what I wanted to do. But absolutely on the motion, what he said.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Tracy, and we'll look forward to your ideas in the future. So is there any other burning desire to discuss the motion that is on the board? Okay. You want to call the roll? Please. Oh, wait, Mr. Alexander, did you have a burning desire? I couldn't see you behind the
podium. Yeah, I have a burning desire. I just wanted to point out that not everything on this list, but most of the things are probably on here because they don't have funding either. So I have a little trouble why we're singling out the hydroacoustic survey for being there in spite of not having funding to do it. So.
That was the only parting of the ways of the SSC and the council. So, all right, with that, Mr. Nice, call the roll, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Council members, please answer yes, no, or abstain to the motion on the board. Mr. Aristad?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Bellavance?
Yes.
Ms. Braun?
No.
Ms. Etri?
No.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski? He might be.
Yes.
Okay, I thought he might be muted. Mr. Papalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pierdnock?
Yes.
Mr. Pendy?
Stand.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwine?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Vote is 14-2-1. Motion carries.
Okay. So now we have to decide whether or not we want to. I mean, Mr. Pentney has made some comments about permit splitting. Unless somebody wants to address it, I just assume let it be. But you want to talk about permit splitting? Mr. Papalardo?
I just don't understand why we're taking it off the list, Mr. Chairman. I put it on the list several years ago through several committees. It says here on the document we have, the Groundfish Committee recommended deleting it. I'm on the committee. I don't remember that. But don't think other committees recommended deleting it, and taking it off does what? To me, keeping it there is a reminder that it's something we should look into. I just don't understand why we're taking it off.
Okay, any other comments? So I have Mr. Pendy and Mr. Papalardo recommend leaving it in. Is there anybody that prefers to take it out? Okay, seeing none, permit splitting remains. So at this point, see if we can do this easy. We have a proposal to approve the changes to the 2022 to the 2026 research priorities as discussed today. So is there any further discussion or is there any opposition to that from anybody on the council? Okay, I see none. So by consent, priorities are changed as of today, including the discussion on the priorities. Anything else, ladies? Okay. Is that it, Tom? Yeah, I got that. Okay, so that ends our formal agenda today. So this is where we get to the informal part, but I want to make sure these comments are part of the record. Mr. Godfrey, are you with us?
I am here.
Okay, great. Well, I just have a letter. Mark is terming out, and he's terming out on his second term, and he's decided to move on. So I just have a letter from the council I'd like to read in the record. So, dear Mark, on behalf of the New England Fisheries Management Council and its staff, I'd like to thank you for your 6 years of service on this council. We have benefited from your 25 years of experience as a charter and party boat captain. You have witnessed numerous changes in fish stock distributions, marine mammal movements, and oceanographic conditions. Your firsthand observations and insights have been helpfully informed our management decisions. This has been especially true for the recreational cod and haddock fishery in the Gulf of Maine. You have always recognized the value of good data collection in both recreational and commercial fisheries management, which was an attribute you brought to the council table from day one. You have been a steady presence on our groundfish committee since the first year of your appointment, and this may be where your contributions have been most valuable. You also took a turn on the EBFM committee and spent several years on the scallop committee. You were a member of the joint spiny dogfish committee all 3 years of your second term, as well as the council's alternate to the Atlantic large whale take reduction team. You became a member of the council's VMS enforcement committee in 2016. You served on the committee through your first term and then chaired it through your second term. We appreciate your leadership there. We would especially like to thank you for you helping us host Congressman Chris Pappas at the Yankee Fishermen's Co-op in 2019 during his first year in office. You readily agreed to be part of the council's delegation, which was selected to meet the congressman and his staff to discuss issues related to fisheries, harbor management, and coastal communities that were important to New Hampshire and beyond. You then led Congressman Pappas on a tour of Eastman's Dock, the operation adjacent to the co-op where you own party boats, the Lady Tracy Ann II and the Lady Courtney Alexa were based. This opportunity gave the congressman a personal perspective on the importance of the recreational fishing industry in his home state. You've recently moved on to pursue other business opportunities outside of the fishing industry, and we wish you the very best of luck with these endeavors. And we hope you finally remember your time on the council. Sincerely, for the New England Council. So thank you, Mark. Okay.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. I enjoyed my time on the council. I've never been one to hug the mic, so I won't start now.
Okay, Mark. Well, just so you know, there's a picture of you when you're about 16 years old on the screen. So.
I see that. There's a nice tan going on, too.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, thank you very much, Mark. So
thank
then,
you.
Then it brought us to... somewhat of a challenge. You know, these plaques only hold one page, and of course there's the Paperwork Reduction Act, and you know, everything has to fit on one page. So sorry, Dr. Sisson-Wine, it's only going to be a one pager, so but it's heartfelt, believe me. So Dr. Mike, on behalf of the New England Fisheries Management Council and its staff, I'd like to thank you for your 9 years of service on this council. You brought a level of scientific understanding to the table that is unparalleled in council history. You have patiently and methodically talked this council through the complicated technical underpinnings of our actions in a manner that allowed members and stakeholders to have a better grasp of the analysis that informed our decision making. From our point of view, your expertise as a past Chief Scientific Advisor to the National Marine Fisheries Service and former Director of the Northeast Fisheries Science Center merely prepared you for the 5 years you served on our SSC and subsequently your 3 consecutive terms as a council member. You willingly took on some of our more amorphous and challenging assignments. You served on the Risk Policy Working Group and the Observer Policy Committee, which primarily addressed industry-funded monitoring. You encouraged the Council to conduct a research set-aside program review and then chaired the review panel. You also strongly advocated for an independent review of the Council's operations to assess past performance and solicit suggestions for improvement. You represented the Council in the international arena both as a NAFO commissioner and through your service on the advisory committee to the U.S. section of ICAT. You represented us on the National Marine Fisheries Service HMS Species Advisory Panel as well. We welcomed your thoughtful committee contributions, especially on scallops. Your work on the Northeast Trawl Advisory Panel and leadership on revisions to the NTAP Charter were appreciated. You served on our Ecosystem-Based Fisheries Management Committee throughout your council tenure and graciously agreed to be our trusted messenger in an introductory EBFM video. Despite the complexity of the subject matter, you explained the premise behind EBFM in layman's terms and an even-toned conversational way that appropriately targeted a new audience. Furthermore, we will long remember your unwavering efforts to convince your fellow council members of the value of MSE. For all of this and much more that is left unsaid, we thank you. We may never have another Mike Sissonwine, but down the road, at the end of a long council meeting day, we can raise a glass and chat, MSE, 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 in your honor for old time's sake. Sail away, literally, and enjoy a few well-earned lazy days. You will be missed. Sincerely, for the council. Ms. Griffin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a farmer's insurance, I'd say we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two, and Mike has seen a lot. After decades of experience filling a variety of roles in fisheries science and administration, we were fortunate in Massachusetts that Mike was willing to continue to contribute his extensive knowledge of fish biology and governance to the fisheries management scene. Over his tenure on the council, Mike showed a determination not to just arrive at a solution, but to improve upon the council's processes and management performance. Leaving the council a better place often came in the form of pages-long emails on the heels of a vigorous and lengthy debate that not only challenged the working memory of my inbox, but challenged Mike's colleagues to think more strategically and long-term about collective problems. Throughout it all, Mike has been open-minded, fair, informed, honest, and insightful. He will be missed by his colleagues and the entire fisheries community in the Commonwealth. In recognition of Mike's contributions, I have here a citation from Governor Baker and Lieutenant Governor Polito, which reads, Dr. Michael P. Sissonwine, on behalf of the citizens of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I am pleased to confer upon you this governor's citation in recognition of your 9 years of dedicated service to the New England Fishery Management Council and your tireless efforts to improve stewardship and livelihoods. On a more personal note, I wish you and Nina many more adventures on land and at sea. I hope you'll continue to impart advice on the work we've shared around this table. Thank you for your past commitment and smooth sailing ahead.
Okay, Mike, you got 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'll be briefer than that for a change. Just thank you. You know, Eric, in your comments you started off and said something about my patience. And I want to apologize for perhaps not being patient enough. I've shown some frustration of late. And I guess I just attribute that to getting old and sort of feeling like time's running out. But in terms of my experience with this council, which actually dates back to probably its first meeting, you know, I can honestly say that the group of members and staff and agency participants right now is night and day compared to what I observed almost 45 years ago. I mean, just the level of dedication, the level of integrity, the level of appreciation for science and the law, and just the collegiality has just been great. And in spite of things I wish we could have accomplished, there's nothing more important than the friendships I've developed during this time and the appreciation I have for all of you. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, Mike. So, at this point, I think we're going to move to a more appropriate venue for this celebration, if it's okay with you, Doctor. And Joni, it's upstairs in the bar. Do we have a start time, or is it whenever, apparently, is the response. So, okay, with that, you're all invited upstairs. It's $10 at the door, and it's a cash bar. It'll be well worth it. And with that, we are adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you very much.